Well, I kind of like that corner. It's over there by the heater. Feels good. We supposed to be comfy Christians? Sometimes. It's a privilege. Amen. Oh, Ken, those are wonderful songs of worship. Thank you for hearing the Holy Spirit on those. Really appreciate it a lot. All right. Pick up where we left off. Talking about toward. That word toward is where we left off. We were going toward huggy break just before we finished that. And about, are we more than a conqueror? Have we become what the word says we are? I should say, has it manifest? Because as soon as we read that, we have a decision to make. Are we going to come into agreement with what God says about us? Even if you don't believe it yet, at least come into agreement with the one who spoke it. And that's how God sees each one of you. That's a lot when you think about it. And it's part of fixing our minds on things above and not on the earth. Being more heavenly minded than earthly minded at times. And at times we have to pay attention in our earth suit walk as well. You know, but that's why we have the inner witness, the Holy Spirit. We still live in these earth suits, and they're prone to doing whatever they want to do unless the spirit man inside of each one of us says, nope, we're not doing that, we're not going there, and we're not saying that. And it becomes, I don't want to say natural, but it becomes supernaturally natural. The longer you live your faith walk, it just seems like there are certain patterns of the Spirit that set up in our lives. And as we grow, we're more attentive to them. But that's all part of, from the beginning until the end, as long as we live. These are all things to think about. Not that you don't have enough to think about already, but here's one more. For the mark, I press toward the mark. If any of you have ever run a race when you were in school, track meet or whatever, there was always a goal. There was always the finish line. And the mark for the believer is the finish line. When our earthly life is over, you've reached the finish line in one sense. It's an end of a segment of your life, because we have eternal life. We have our physical life, we have our spiritual life, and we have eternal life. And our physical life, unless the Lord returns while we're still living, it's going to end as we know it. And to many, that's a mark. It's a mark in time that only the Lord knows. He knows each one of us. He knows when our last day will be. I'm glad I don't. I'd probably go bowling twice today. No. Just, how would you handle that if you knew? Would it change anything? Aren't you glad you don't know? Me too. Me too. But it's also, we talked last week about when our kids were little, and they'd back up against a wall or a door frame, and we'd make a pencil mark when a child was this tall, then a year later like this, and all the way up through until that mark could be way up here. Most of the time, our kiddies have left home by then. But it was a place to come back and check. This is where he or she once was, but now they're here. And in the Lord, if if we could imagine this from the Lord's perspective, he remembers when you were once here, but he sees you through every step of that walk. And as you mature in the Lord, by then our minds are much more renewed to the Word than when we first started. Our life is it's a life, it's a walk. And so that mark, in one sense, it's the finish line. It's the end of our physical earthly life. So some questions arise out of that before we take our last breath. And it's a good thing to ponder, because we talked about the pressing part. What's the passion? What's the goal? What's the objective? Did our life make a positive difference or an impact in the lives of others? You might hear of a varying answer to that. Depends on who was a witness to your life. Your neighbors, your friends, family members. Was your faith walk instrumental, if you will, in being an example to others to walk this walk of faith? And people do watch our lives, so this does make a difference. Do you keep your word? That's a biggie. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, follow through. Don't make a habit of wussing out and copying an excuse. Sometimes there's real reasons why you couldn't. But be real mindful about who you make promises to and what those promises are. That's all part of this walk. Because that's the first thing people notice. Are we faithful? Do we keep our word? Can we be trusted? Are we dependable? Are we reliable? Did our lives inspire others to pursue their faith walk? Were we an encouragement to somebody else? Somebody maybe just beginning, just got saved, and we have opportunities to help disciple them along the way. So the things that we speak to them, the things that we read to them, to help them along the way. Don't leave people floundering if you know somebody that's just recently got saved, or don't let them flounder. Were they inspired enough by looking at us as an example? Paul used his own life as an example. I'm not where he was yet. There are parts of my life that I think about being an example. I find it so... This is just a Rick thing, okay? I'm not saying the Lord inspired the sentence I'm about to say. I find it absolutely marvelous the incredible patience I have with people. And yet if my shoe gets tied in a knot, I want to fling it across the room like a jerk. I don't understand that. Maybe I need to get Velcro shoes. I don't know. Silly, stupid stuff. I wouldn't want you to see that. But I can tell you it's real. It's just frustrating. But with people, I just have tons and tons of patience. Far, far more than maybe many of you.
It's a gift from God.
I really believe it is, because there are people who would say, how do you put up with that?
That's right.
I don't know, I just do. It's just normal. I have a hard time getting angry at somebody. I mean, yeah, it is a praise the Lord.
It's evident, too.
I can't explain that, so I don't try. I can't explain why little things. But in the Lord, they're big things if they become part of your way of life, and we don't learn to overcome them. Andy, you're grinning. I know you're just cooking inside.
Well, I think it was yesterday. It seems like sometimes gravity's just not my friend. Everything is getting is dropping. It's falling over. It's getting spilled. And I'm thinking, is somebody playing a trick on me? Is it safe trying to get me mad? Well, it's not going to work. I'll just let that thing lay there while I'm doing what I'm doing.
Amen. Thank you. I needed to hear that today. I came here to hear something. That was good. I can go with that. And I think, more importantly, I mean, these are all important little things. In this one verse of Scripture, did I fulfill God's purpose and will for my life? I don't know if you ever wonder that or not, because God isn't always one to pat us on the back, you know, like, Jesse, you're doing a good job. You know, that's very, very kind. But what is really, what really we're after is it favorable to the Lord? Is it within His will? And the more we grow, the more time we spend in His Word, the more we understand His will. Because sometimes it isn't written in black and white. You kind of can gather what it is over a period of scriptures and looking back and seeing how God moved, what He did, what were the circumstances, so that we can glean a lot that way. And there are some things He comes right out and says, and this is the will of Him who sent me. I would like to have such an assurance of that I wouldn't even question it. That's why I will always tell you, it's a Rick thought. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit inspired me to say something, because I want you to see the difference. And because it's important. All right. And it says, for the prize. You know, as weeks go by very quickly, we had a couple Sundays that we talked about the crowns, the five crowns for the believer that will be awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, because that's where those things will happen. And so, in the sense of I press toward the mark for the prize, if you just stopped and haven't got to the rest of the scripture, there are rewards and awards that will be given to the believers. And they're at a designated time. I don't know when, how long it is from the time the believer dies and he graduates from these earth suits before those are awarded, but I know they will be, because it's written in Scripture. And Paul wrote about those five crowns, and we looked at those, and everyone will get something for their faith walk. I don't know what all it's going to be. We only have scriptures that we can find kind of stuff like that. So, and the prize, my place in heaven, and any rewards or crowns from God that I may receive. I don't know what color my mansion will be. I don't know what color the drapes are going to be. I don't know who I'm going to live beside. I don't know if it's going to be a single floor. I don't know if it's going to have a stairway. I don't know any of those things. But for each one of us, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go there and prepare a place for you. So these are some things to think about when we graduate. Wow. From no more snowbanks to a mansion. That's really cool. Won't need a snowblower. Won't need a shovel. It'll be, everything will be just absolutely perfect, with no influence of the enemy anywhere. None. It'll be just the purest of the purest that you could even begin to imagine. And so that's what waits for us, all of us. Now of the high calling. I'd like to read you Paul's high calling. And for that, you're going to have to go to the book of Acts. This is very brief, but it's really relevant to Paul called himself Paul, an apostle called by the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew what his calling was. And a lot of people I know don't know that. They don't know who or what they were called to do. So that's important, to know what your call is. And this came through chapter 8, please. Chapter 9. It was right after Paul's conversion. Many of you know that account. Chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. Oh, no, let's go read verse 6, too, because it connects. And you have to remember, too, that, all right, where are we going? All right. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute me? Why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you then, Lord? Immediately he called him Lord. Number one revelation. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the goads, the ox goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go to the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. So now, he had a helper because he had scales over his eyes. He was like blinded, and he couldn't see where he was going. And so he was taken to a man by the name of Ananias. And on the way, the Lord gave Ananias a vision. And so Saul of Tarsus is headed towards Ananias's. The Lord gave a word to Paul, Saul, who became Paul, where he was going to hear God's answer to, what do you want me to do, Lord? And so Saul is en route to Ananias. Ananias gets a vision of him coming. And so in verse 12, and he's talking about Ananias. This is Jesus speaking. In a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Now this is Paul's part of the vision. So now we get Ananias. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said unto him, Ananias, go your way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to hear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That was his high call right there. That Paul, his ministry, but the great things that he was going to suffer along the way. And you can read all the book of Acts and all the places where it didn't go well for Brother Paul. It was a hard... His call was a hard call. And the Lord wasn't slack in telling him that basically you're going to do all of these things, but in the midst of that and along the way, your life is going to be very troublesome. You're going to have to deal with all of these things. And it's almost like, we talked about this last week, it's almost like there's a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. And all the Christians that he persecuted and abused and had thrown in prison, look at his life. Look at what happened to him all along the way. Even though he was fulfilling God's call in his life, he was treated the very way that he treated the believers before he himself became one. And I find that very interesting. He's in jail. People threatened his life. People tried to kill him. And all that time, he still was faithful to walk out his life and answer that call of God in his life. And that's where Paul was called. And there you can read it again. I don't have it written in the Word where I was called. It didn't happen that way. It was kind of on the golf course, and there wasn't anybody around. I didn't hear a particular audible voice. No one prophesied to me. I don't know what happened for all of you, but there's an inner witness that you already know by the Spirit who you're called to be, what you're called to be, and that's your high calling, because it came from wherever heaven is. That call came for your life. And that's why this is so important, is to be faithful, to walk out what you know to do. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let the devil steal it from you. Do it with gladness of heart. Do it with joy. And that's why we can read Paul's letters from prison to encourage others. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Isn't that in Philippians? And did he not tell them about thinking on good things? He was always, even from prison, he always was an encourager. He set things straight that were out of order, but he always, you can't not read his letters and walk away greatly refreshed and encouraged by the things that he spoke. And he himself, he considered it all, whatever it costs me, I'm going to walk it out. If it costs me my life, I'll still do it. And even though he wrote in Timothy, this is what he wrote in 2 Timothy, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering." Everything, the drawing of his life, there was so much that he poured out and into the lives of other people. And he came to the place where he said, "I'm drained." It's like, I came to that place where I have nothing left to offer but my life now. I've given you everything I could possibly give you. I've taught you everything that I know to teach you. And I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. In his spirit, he knew that it was for him. He knew that it was coming to an end. I don't know anybody personally when that comes, unless a person is sick and they're dying. But people suddenly die for no apparent reason. I remember Kenneth Hagin, one of the things he said I always admired. He said, just because people get old, it doesn't mean they have to die sick.
That's right.
One day his heart stopped. Boom, that was it. He never was sick. He walked out his faith confession, and I learned a lot from a lot of his books, a lot of his literature about learning to walk by faith and not by sight, not by circumstances, and in all circumstances, always remember to be thankful. Thanksgiving is really big with the Lord. And so, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, because that's where your call is, it's in Christ. So, that's a long presentation of one verse, and I don't apologize for it, because I think, you know, I look at you guys, I've known a lot of you for so many years, you're not babies in the faith anymore. And you know, we need meaty stuff from time to time, otherwise what good are our teeth? You know, you can just gum it and put them in a glass on the bedside, you know. But we need stuff like this to glean the strength and to come to realize that the only way that this is possible with any victory is the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit that's in each one of us. And God does speak to us every day, whether it's an audible voice, a dream, or a vision, or picking up. She's speaking to us. Prophesy, lady. Come on, bring it on. Yeah, look at that big smile. You know, to just know that he speaks to us. And that we all have a call. Find out what it is. And if you know what it is, quit running from it. Step up. This world needs a few good, solid, rooted and grounded believers in our country, in our nation, in our towns, in our neighborhoods. Be all that God called you to be, because in him, I believe it was Paul who said, I can do three things through Christ who strengthens me on Tuesdays. Is there a dispute in the house? What did he say?
All things?
Man. Every day of the week. I knew there was a couple preachers in the house. Thank you, guys. Setting me straight this morning. You can do all things. Whatever you're challenged to do. Sometimes I pass my shoe with a hard knot it onto Faith because she's got longer fingernails. But I'm learning to undo those knots. After I sillily threw a shoe across the room, and I go, untie it, zip my lip, apologize.
I was 70 years old and I thought I knew how to tie a bow knot. My shoe kept coming untied. One day I realized if I took both ears of the bow and pulled as hard as I could, it would stay tied.
Thank you. Maybe I can use that. The ones I wear here, I slip them on and slip them off.
Don't feel bad, Rick. I just slip mine on and off, but I just keep them laced.
Yeah. Oh, glory. Even shoes become a conversation. Because we walk. India, I wear sandals. Or barefoot. But anyway, we've come to the end of that word for today, and I really, my desire is that the Lord will give you something to think about, maybe some challenges, maybe an attitude adjustment, I don't know, but I know for me, it wasn't done with last week. Because we never got that far about the high call, except the fact that it's a call from the Lord for your life. And Paul had his spoken to him, what the Lord had called him, and that it wasn't going to come easy for him. And I wonder, what I marvel at is he was told that he was going to suffer. And yet he still followed through with it. I don't know how many of us would still take that challenge. If the Lord told you, it's going to be a hard row to hoe. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be worth it in the end. And you'll look back one day and say, that was a piece of cake. That was so easy.
Way worse without him.
Hmm?
It's way worse without him.
Yes, it is. And we all been there. Any of among you need prayer this morning before we call it a morning?